When Jesus addressed these believers in Philadelphia, he calls himself, Jesus calls himself the one who is holy and true. Jesus is the Holy One. He will not be deceitful towards the people of Philadelphia, towards his believers, and he's truly righteous. He's not like the Pharisees. He's not like the Jews that was in the synagogue in Philadelphia. He told his believers through this letter that he asked John to write, that he will not lie to them and he will not close the doors to those who believe in him. Now the reason he describes himself in this way is because the area where these believers found themselves in, they were in a synagogue amongst people of God, people who believed in God, and they were quite comfortable for a number of years amongst these God-fearing people. They found the believers in Christ that they suddenly locked out, kept out, and asked to leave. Now, there are only two churches of the seven that Jesus writes to in Revelation. The only two churches against which Jesus holds nothing, which he holds nothing against, it's a church in Smyrna and a church here in Philadelphia. But there's something else that's very significant for me in this. Is that not only has Jesus got nothing that he holds against these two churches, these are the only two times that Jesus speaks of the synagogue of Satan. When he says, there are those who say that they are Jews, but they're lying. They are not. Because they don't act people who fear God. And Jesus speaks not only to the believers that this letter is written to, but he's also speaking against those who are supposed to be God-fearing people. Those who are supposed to be Jews in a synagogue of God and were rather in a synagogue of Satan. In Smyrna, we would remember that Jews went around once a year saying, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord, thinking nothing of it, getting their little stamp with the Caesar stamp on it, allowing them to trade. And the Christians refused to say Caesar is Lord because Jesus is Lord and not Caesar. And because they did that, they did not get that letter that they were supposed to be getting with that seal of Caesar on it, said they swear alliance to Caesar for the next year so they can trade for the next year. And so the Christians found it very difficult to make a living in Smyrna. Like you've heard here in Philadelphia, the Jews had a very good relationship with the governor. And he knew they would behave. They used the system where we had to swear alliance to Caesar so that they know you will not go against him. You will not start something against him. And here in Philadelphia, they knew that the Jews were good people. They were not going to start riots and things like that. And the governor was on good footing with them. And so, if your name was written on the membership roll of the synagogue in Philadelphia, then it was as good as you had said Caesar is Lord. You don't have to do that. Your name was on that membership roll, and you were a friend of the governor. But what happened in about 90 after Christ was that the Jews were starting to shut the Christians out. Shut them out from the synagogues. When they come to the synagogue during the week for the normal stuff that would happen there, and when they knock on the door, Jewish guy would open the window in the door and say, are you willing to denounce your Lord? Are you willing to stop saying Jesus is Lord? Because if you're not, you're not going to be allowed in here. And when the Christians were not willing to forsake Jesus, their names were removed from the membership roll of the synagogue. And it was as good as their names have been removed from the list or the friendship list of the governor. And so the doors were shut in their face. And it was not Romans shutting these Christians out. These were people who were supposed to be believing in God, shutting out Christians, not only from a place of worship, but shutting them out from society, shutting them out from being able to do trade, making their lives very difficult. Doing this by removing their names from the membership roll. I wonder how you'd feel if you walk in one Sunday morning and the door is closed. How would you feel if you knock on a door and say, come on guys, what's happening here? Aren't we supposed to be having a service here at 9? And he'll open it on a little, just a little bit. And he would say, sorry, your name has been removed from the membership roll. Don't come back. Therese, will you do that? You better not. How would you feel if the door was closed in your face? Your name was removed from the membership roll. And the only way for you to come back in here is for you to renounce Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's for you to say, I no longer believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Something else, while working through these seven letters, something else that was very significant for me as well was that the only two churches that Jesus did not have anything against, that he did not hold anything against, are the two churches where Jesus said, this is the problem, the synagogue of Satan. The other churches, in those churches, people were persecuted, people were killed. Antipas was fried. Remember the one in Pergamum? Fried in that copper bull. But yet Jesus spoke to him and he said, you do all these good things, but I have this that I hold against you. So why did Jesus not hold anything against these two churches? I think it's because Jesus realized that the most hurt and the most damage that you can cause can be in a close group of people. Can be in a group of people where people are supposed to be trusting one another, where people are expecting to be loved by those around them. Loved, accepted, cared for. The most hurt and the most damage gets done in a close group like that. If someone attack you from the outside, it's fine, you can put up your defenses, you might die, but the body will continue. But the biggest danger is when the body, the unity, is attacked from the inside. It is as if when Jesus asked John to write these two letters to Smyrna and Philadelphia, it was as if he knew that he the only thing he can do for these two churches was to encourage them, to tell them to continue doing what you're doing. Because if he still had to heap other things on them, they would not have been able to bear the cross. Because they were already been shunned by their own people. It was as if they were more hopeless and more in danger than the rest of the believers in Asia Minor, that what we know as Turkey today. You know that we're in this setup in Philadelphia, the Jews and Christians were no strangers to one another. They knew each other from when they were like yayai, little children. They played together, they worshiped together for many years. Christianity was seen as a sect of Judaism. But for various reasons, the Jews were starting to turn nasty. And remember, these Jewish guys weren't bad people. Do any of you know Jews? Are any Jews around still? They seem to be withdrawing from our country. We'll meet some tonight. They are not bad people. They're faithful in their worship. They're faithful in their prayer life. They try to live good lives and do the right things. And in their own eyes, they are righteous and holy people. but it was difficult for them to live with the Christians, because they start seeing that the Christians were living their lives as was required by God. The Christians were, they were doing out of love those things that God wanted all his people to do. And the Jews weren't stupid. They knew what God wanted from them. It's not like they've never heard it before. There's quite a few quotes that I can do out of scripture to prove this to you. But one of them out of Deuteronomy 10 verse 12 is, and God speaks to them. He says, and now Israel, what does your Lord God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Micah 6 verse 8, he says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. He has shown these Jews what is good. And what does the Lord require of you, he asked him? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. The Christians did this. Out of the love they had in their heart for one another, they did this. And the Jews, with their law, they became self-righteous. They missed the Messiah. And these good people acted if they were the ones who were holding the keys of David in their hands. They were the ones who could decide who comes into the synagogue and who doesn't. You know what a key does? You know what a key does? Especially if you've got a big bunch of keys. Yeah? When I started working, the one thing I always wanted from my from the company I worked for was a bunch of keys, because it gave me power and authority. Robin, do you hand out keys to all your staff or just to certain ones? To all of them. They've all got power and authority. I want to go work for Robin. Normally, keys signifies that this person has got some power and some authority in this situation or this organization. Therefore, for the Jews, having the key of David would give them control over David's domain. What was David's domain? The city of Jerusalem. But Jesus says, I'm the one who holds the key of David. I'm the one who has authority over Jerusalem, and not this Jerusalem that you guys were thinking of, but the new Jerusalem. I am the one, Jesus says, that has authority, and not these Jews who are shutting out the Christians, closing the doors of the synagogue to the believers of Christ, acting if they were the ones with the keys of David in their hands. The people in this town or city, they lived in trying times. We've heard how the city was destroyed, how they were struggling to get back on their feet. But you know what was funny, and the Jews would have known this, the same Tiberius who was trying to help Philadelphia, trying to do things for Philadelphia before he died, before we suspect his brother poisoned him. The same Tiberius 20 years earlier, when he was still a general under the rule of his father Vespasian, the same Tiberius was the one who crushed the Jewish revolt in Jerusalem. That revolt that was started by the Maccabees. And in 70 after Christ, just like Jesus predicted it would happen, temple in Jerusalem was destroyed. And Tiberius instructed his soldiers. He said to them, burn this temple to the ground. Throw all the stones down. Do not leave one stone upon another, so that they cannot rebuild this temple ever. Just like Jesus predicted it would happen. You know, 20 years is not a long time. We still remember a major political change we had in this country about 20 odd years ago, just a bit more than 20 years ago. You remember the old system and a new system now. And so the people in Philadelphia would remember 20 years earlier the destruction of the temple. And the people in the synagogue should have had empathy with the Christians. They should have known it was the Romans who destroyed the whole central part of their belief in the religious system. They should have had empathy with the Christians. They should have had empathy with these people who were in their midst. But instead, they wanted to force these Christians to renounce their belief in Jesus. And if they did not do it, they closed the doors to them. So what Jesus did, what he did was, he got John to write him a letter. Write a letter to these Christians. And he writes this letter as a letter of encouragement. A letter that will give them hope. You know, our churches nowadays so easily falls into the same self-righteous behavior, acting if we are the ones who are holding the keys to the kingdom of God, to the new Jerusalem, wanting to close doors and open doors to people we think should be there or should not be there. About 2-3 years ago, I met with people who in Port Elizabeth who moved from Queenstown probably about a year before that. And the guy's name was Heinrich and his wife Nikki and had a little boy about a year old then, whose name was Aiden. And they wanted to baptize Aiden. And the problem was that they moved from Queenstown, so they were not a member of any church at that stage. And so they came to me and asked me, would I baptize Aiden? And I said, we can do that, but I would require from them to become members of the church, be in that church, make sure that they're part of a community of believers like we require to do, and then we can do this. But since they lived about 30 kilometers from where our congregation was, I suggested they go to one of our other Presbyterian congregations. And that they go there, meet with the people, and go through a process, become members there, and then we can either we baptize or they baptize young Aiden. And they were happy to do that. But a couple of weeks later, I spoke to them. And I said, how did it go? Are you going to become members? I said, no. They were not interested. And so I asked them why. And Nikki's answer to me was, she came there that morning. She enjoyed the fellowship before the service. She enjoyed the whole service and everything. But when it got to tea time, the one lady behind the tea table serving tea had such an attitude. Because she was not supposed to be on duty that morning, but the minister forgot to circulate the list and announce the tea list from the pulpit, and the person who was supposed to be there were not. And Nikki said this lady was chatting to somebody else telling her this. She was not asked to serve the tea, but she stepped in like a good Christian person should, and she almost threw the teacup down in front of Nikki. Nikki said she took 2 sips and decided that she does not feel welcome here. As it was as if a door was closed for her. And they left, never to go back. And the sad thing about this congregation is that they were praying for young couples to come there. They were struggling to fill their pews. But there was a lady there that was more concerned with her grievances than people coming there for the first time. So we do these things unintentionally. We are good people. We sometimes shut the door without knowing that we're shutting it. Many of the church people out there, if you ask them, they will tell you that Christians are hypocrites. Many of the church people are the church because of something that's happened to them in the church or something that's been done to them by somebody who said they are a believer or a Christian. Many of us have been hurt by people in churches. Many of us. And Jesus says to us, and he encourages us, and he says, hang in there, he's telling us. Hang in there. Don't worry. I will destroy these self-righteous religions and these self-righteous institutions and self-righteous organizations, and I will build a temple to my Father. And what will he do? What will he use? I will use you as the pillars of this temple. And I'll put my name on you. You know what that means? If his name is on you, he's taking ownership of you. You belong to Jesus. And you, my faithful followers, Jesus says, you will be the pillars I will build this building on. You will be my pillars. A church is not a building. A church is a gathering of people. And Jesus tells you today, do not be afraid of institutions and other stuff like that. He's going to use you. And you can believe what he says and what he tells you. I was asked the other day by someone, and they asked me if any of these predictions, if any of these predictions in the Revelations, any of these prophecies of Jesus, if any of those ever came true. In the Gospel according to John, Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple. Remember that? He said, not a stone will be left on top of another. Jesus predicted the destruction of those synagogues in Smyrna and in Philadelphia. They destroyed. They're no more there. The destruction of self-righteous, key-wielding, church-going people who are focused more on their own power and things will also go away. Churches who are not focused on the work of Jesus, churches who are not focused on Jesus and what he's taught us, churches who are not focused on the Holy One and the True One, Jesus says they will also go away. And it's happening all the time. We sometimes wonder why the doors of churches are being closed. Jesus says, what I close, nobody will open. Do you, the faithful followers of Jesus, do you who have stayed patient, who have endured, Jesus tells you to hold fast unto your crown. Hold fast unto Jesus in your heart. Do not follow the same route so many other churches have followed before. Do not get caught up in self-righteousness, self-importance. Stay humble. Stay true to the word of God. To those who have ears, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we can gather as a community of believers. Father, we thank you that we are people who really love you. Lord, we thank you that you continue to make us humble. Lord, we thank you that you continue to use us for your work and for building your kingdom. Lord, and we pray that you would continue to bless each and every person in this congregation as they strive to bring your kingdom to this world. Lord, we thank you that we are the pillars on which you build this new temple in this new Jerusalem. In Jesus' name we pray this.